Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we answered listeners' questions, but this was after an intro portion. Today it was 51 minutes long. This is where we talk about current events and family life, and we bring up fitness studies. By the way, if you want to skip around your favorite parts, check the show notes. We have timestamps there that you can click on. Also, if you want to write out a question that we can answer, go to Instagram, at Mind Pump Media. That's where you can post your questions, and then we'll pick from there. One more thing, our three-part Train the Trainer series on January 15th, starting on January 15th, you can still sign up for that. If you're a trainer or coach, you want to become more successful at what you do, go to mindpumptrainer.com. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Organifi. They make organic supplements that help you with athletic performance, muscle building, fat loss, sleep, and overall wellness. By the way, they just came out with their first ever kids greens product. Pretty interesting stuff. Go check them out. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump and get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by Paleo Valley. They make paleo-inspired supplements to improve your health. They have meat sticks that are grass-fed, by the way, beef, grass-fed meat sticks. They're not dry. They're delicious. They even have beef tallow if you want to cook your food in a fat that has a high cook temperature that has some health benefits. They have beef tallow, and they have many, many other products. Check them out. Go to paleovalley.com. That's paleovalley.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump15. For 15% off your first order. We also have a special this month. So every year at the beginning of the year, we come out with these bundles of programs and we discount them heavily. In fact, this year, each bundle is $300 to $350 off. Check them out. We have the new to weightlifting bundle, the body transformation bundle. We have the new year extreme intensity bundle. And then we have the body transformation bundle 2.0. All of them on sale right now. Go to mapsjanuary.com. All right, here comes the show. When picking a protein powder, here are the two most important things you should consider.
Number one. Make sure it's got protein in it.
That's right. No, number one.
That is important.
It needs to be free from impurities. Believe it or not, a remarkable amount of protein powders have high amounts of heavy metals. That's not good for you. Number two, is it easily digestible for you? That's it. Those are the two things you need to consider. Aside from that, I mean, what kind of protein you get, how the flavor, all that stuff, not nearly as important. So free from impurities, and is it easy to digest? This is what people need to focus on.
Last episode before we go on vacation, I thought I'd fuck with you on your intro there.
My intro there?
Yeah.
You did good.
It didn't break stride. That was pretty good. So there is actually one more thing that I think is important to consider. At least I remember this being a challenge with clients when they would go out to go buy protein, right? So I would typically tell my client, like, oh, here's a couple brands that I like, right? You know, check these out. And, you know, inevitably, you know, one out of three would come back with a brand that I didn't say, you know? Yeah. And then they would be like, oh, I found this one
for way cheaper,
yeah. You know? And one of the hustles of many hustles that the supplement industry has, but one of the hustles in the protein market, because that's the most expensive part, is the amount of protein in there. And then is it like third party tested and is it actually got what it's saying, right? So the first hustle of the amount of protein that's in it, some of these protein powders, you'll notice, need two scoops in order to get like the amount of protein that you're looking for. So it'll be like 40 grams of protein, but then it's like two scoops. So one scoop is only 20 grams. Right. The protein powder that I wanted you to go get was, say, 38 grams of protein, and it was one scoop. And so, and then you're looking at the weights about the same. And so a lot of people don't pay attention to the serving size and the ratio of protein per scoop. Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference on the price point a lot of times. And so it's one of those hustles that protein powders will do, is they'll make it look like it's a better deal because it's cheaper, but in reality you're getting half the protein in the in the total jug.
Well, so protein
bunch of sugary powder.
Yeah, 100%. Like in the here's what's crazy with the protein powder market. If you look at the actual investigative studies on protein powders, they are dismal, okay? There were protein companies, large ones, that were caught doing what's called amino acid spiking. So what is that? When companies go in to test the protein powder to see if it actually has as much protein as it says it has, they don't test all the amino acids. That's way too expensive. They'll test certain key amino acids, and if they're at a certain amount, they can deduce and say, okay, there's 30 grams of protein per serving. So what do these companies do? They would have crap protein in there and then just spike it with extra amino acid powder so that it would show up on the test and it would show, oh, it's got this much protein. So they lied. Mm-hmm. Number two, remember that big study on vegan protein powders that came out?
All the metals.
Yeah. The heavy metal content in them was so bad that if you took a scoop of this every day, like most people do, and you did it for like a couple years, you would have heavy metal concentrations in your system that would cause side effects, adverse effects, neurological effects, anxiety, inflammation, hormonal effects. And what sucks about that is you would have no idea it was your protein powder. You would go to the doctor. Doctor would be like, I don't know what's wrong with you. You go to this person. I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm going to test my gut. What's happening? And you think this protein powder couldn't possibly be it until you got your metals tested. And then you'd have to like go through
now,
all your products.
Now, why vegan specifically? Like, why did they?
Herbicides and pesticides.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yep. Okay.
Herbicides and pesticides. The organic ones, believe it or not, were higher in heavy metals because organic pesticides are higher in some of these heavy metals. Now, at the time,
this is that? Oh, because they're pulling from things like beans and stuff. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, that was a good question, Justin. I was like, you know, I've never thought about why.
Yeah,
but that's why.
Yes. So,
like, what are the top four things that vegan proteins derive their protein from? I know
soy,
peas,
rice, peas. Amaranth, you'll have pumpkin seeds.
And all those are getting blasted with pesticides.
They can, right? Yeah. And so
it's different than pulling from, you know, dairy.
Yes. Now with milk, whey protein, that's where the amino acid spiking was happening. There could be other stuff in there that have been found in other tests. But I remember when that happened, we were all up in arms. We got this report. Oh, yeah. I immediately got on the phone with Organifi. This was years ago. And it, by the way, this is
when we first started working with them.
This was a turning point. And I don't want to say a turning point, but this was one of the most memorable moments in our relationship with Organifi because of how they responded. I got on the phone with them and I said, are yours tested? Because if they're not tested, we will stop selling them until it's verified that they're not high in heavy metals. I'm not going to advocate that my listeners take your product and I take your product and we're essentially poisoning people. And they said, no. Already ahead of you. They sent me third-party testing, very clean. So that's why that's important. And then the second one is digestibility, because if you're eating the amount of protein that is considered optimal for muscle building, fat loss, for satiety, for recovery, all that stuff, it's a lot of protein, okay? So if you're taking a protein powder to make up the difference, you're probably taking anywhere between 30 to 80 grams of protein versus worth of protein powder. If it throws your digestion off, it's causing more inflammation, and over time, you're going to get not just less out of it, it's causing more harm than good. Now, I say this because a lot of people, myself included, when I was a kid, I thought it was just part of the game. You take protein powder, you have gas, you have digestive issues. Yeah. That's, you know, they call it protein farts or whatever. No, that's not good. Taking an extra 30 grams of protein that disrupts your gut health is not worth the 30 grams of protein. So it should feel like when you take your protein powder, you should feel like that was so easy to digest. That was really good. And then it should be very clean. It should provide you, if you ask for it, with testing. Is this tested for heavy metals? Organifi takes it a step further and tests for glyphosate residue. They even test and show that their products are glyphosate residue free. Glyphosates are the Roundup, right? The herbicide that's sprayed all over genetically modified plants. that's been linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in people who use it, has been shown to potentially disrupt the gut microbiome and all that stuff.
Well, that's crazy because even then, like, the plants would have to be covered because the rain itself they've tested has, like, glyphosate residue in it. So it's pretty difficult to, you know, abide by that kind of a standard.
You know what happens to some organic farms? There'll be an organic farm.
And next to it is another one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they'll fly the plane over and blast, you know, glyphosates over their plants, and there'll be a little
bit of... There was a documentary... what documentary was that where they did that? And there was a like an organic farm that was just next to a bunch of other ones that was they were failing all their tests and stuff like that because of just the wind blowing it over.
Bro, it goes even farther. Crazy. It goes even farther. So Monsanto corn, right? GMO corn, which is a product, a patented product of a company like Monsanto. They sell you the corn and then they sell you the glyphosate to go along with it. The corn has been modified to not die when spread with this herbicide. So they blast their fields of corn. Corn survives because it's been genetically modified, but all the other plants die. Did you know?
This is what the documentary was about. Okay. That it blew over
seeds.
And it changed this guy's crop, and then they came
Monsanto
over to
sued them.
They sued
for using their products.
That's what the documentary was. I was like, I know I watched a documentary that was related to that, and that's what it was.
Horseshit.
Yes.
So they would go in, this organic farmer who's not even planting your patented, you know, corn.
Yeah.
Because some of the corn from the field over, obviously the wind blows, whatever, some seeds come over.
Seeds could.
They find some in your crop, sued them, and won.
Yeah.
And this was like a game that they were playing.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, do you guys know the history of how GMOs became?
You got to remember what documentary. You must have watched the same documentary as I did. I watched it a long time ago.
It wasn't a documentary. I've just read about it.
There's a whole documentary about
That's
it. It was really good. Told the whole story of the big lawsuit because it happened to someone in particular that – it like really fucked him. And they were intentionally trying to like bully him out.
I know.
And that was like one of the strategies that they used.
Do you know one of these, how they got these things to get patent, to be able to get, become patented? It went all the way up to, some of the top courts because you're not allowed to patent plants or nature. So they made the argument that this is not natural. But the argument was we want this to be able to be patented because it's our product. We modified it in a lab. However, we also want to be able to call it corn because we don't want the consumer to look at the ingredient list and see GMO corn. We know that that would not let us sell as many. So we want to be able to patent it, but also call it the same name as its natural counterpart.
That's so dumb.
There are other products like this. I don't know if you guys know this.
Pass?
I don't know if you guys know this, where they'll get approval to name something weird.
Well, aren't they going to go through this? They're going to go through the same thing with meat, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're going to have that same problem. It's like they're going to want to name it meat. It's like it's really not though, right?
No, and there are other things that it'll be like AP45 or something like that in the ingredient. You don't know what it is.
Is that the doc right there?
Dude.
What's it called?
Yeah, 2008, The World According to Monsanto.
Yeah. Didn't Monsanto make Agent Orange?
I don't know if that's the doc.
I believe they did.
They made Agent Orange.
Okay, because I know it was like Bayer did a lot of the poisonous gases.
They did the poisonous gas in the concentration camps.
Yeah.
That's what Bayer did, German company.
Really dark history.
I know, but so Monsanto made Agent Orange, they used in Vietnam to make clearings in the jungle to land their helicopters. And a lot of soldiers came back with illnesses and cancers. Was your dad exposed to Agent Orange?
Yeah.
He was?
He was a little bit to where he's actually now, there was like a class action kind of a thing that you had to go get psych eval and all this kind of stuff. And he's now receiving like medical benefits, like slightly now, but it's like, he's in late 70s, you know, at this point. So it's already done its damage. But you know what else was crazy? I was thinking about this, like, you know how this big hustle of like trying to repurpose like petroleum and then like turn into plastics and do all these things. You know, they actually made like sweeteners
out of petroleum.
Like, what the fuck?
Do you know if we eliminated,
we're eating all this stuff?
If we eliminated petroleum, how screwed we would be? Do you know how many products and medicines and plastics and of course fuel and stuff is based off petroleum? It's crazy. If you look it up.
Yeah, that was the double-edged sword, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a chart that shows the use of oil or petroleum and the worldwide population, and it spurred this explosion. So it's like there's a lot of challenges with it, but also like we can't take it away because
Yeah. At this point, it's essential the way we structured everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Clothes and medicines and all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. But yeah, with protein powders, people are so concerned with, like, you know, which one has the best amino acid profile, which one is the most anabolic or whatever. And yes, if they're all clean and they all are easy to digest, that's something you should consider. But if you have one protein powder that is not equivalent in terms of bio, you know, it's not as bioavailable. For example, let's look at, like, you could go with collagen, for example, or, you know, bone broth protein versus, let's say, whey, or vegan protein versus whey. Whey is more bioavailable, more anabolic. But if whey you don't digest well, and vegan or bone broth you do digest well, go with the one that you digest well. It's going to do you better. Yeah. It'll do you much better.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I've actually been doing the Paleo Valley one a lot. I did the bone broth one that you got us on. What I haven't tried is, I saw we have vanilla and we have the unflavored. I'm almost out of the one that you called the chocolate donut one.
Oh yeah.
Once that's done, I'll try the other one. But I just noticed that I can push it all the way up to like 50, 60 grams.
No problem.
And not have any problems with it.
Speaking of Paleo Valley, you use their beef tallow?
Oh, yeah. So
has anybody else used it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Used it. Did she send all of us? So we all got it, right? So every year around Thanksgiving.
You know, that's old school oil to cook with.
Yeah, we cooked potatoes like with it.
Oh, off air, Doug and I were talking about that's
the
what
air fryer.
That's what McDonald's used to use originally.
So good. Yes. Oh, my God. It was like way better.
Yeah,
crispy and everything.
Do you know why they stopped using it?
I cooked a steak in there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You put it in a pan and everything?
Well, I mean, I slow cooked it first, right? So I brought it up to the temperature, just like we talked the other day about, and then I, you know, reverse seared it. And then I finished it in the tallow.
So the tallow, what's the difference between that butter, whatever that you used before, the flavor and
So it has a little bit of it has that kind of beef flavor to it. So it's a little bit different flavor than like butter does. It burns off at a higher temperature. So like if you're cooking, like if you sear a steak on like a cast iron and you use like, say, butter or olive oil, olive oil too, actually, you'll notice that when you get it real, because I get it really, really hot, it'll start to burn off.
Smoke.
Yeah, it'll smoke and burn off.
Yeah.
The tallow like stays in there. So I didn't need as much, and I was scooping it like I would butter because I would like.
It's supposed to be ideal for high temperature cooking,
right? Which means you don't need as much if you're just doing like a sear like I was doing. So I definitely overdid it on the amount in there, not thinking that about the temperature that it burns at, and so it stayed like in. So which is kind of nice if you're going to sear something like that, it would last a lot longer than like what's clarified butter called again?
Ghee
or butter or oil like that. So it's nice. Now I'll be able to just use like a little tablespoon of it where I put a pretty big gob on there. And then I had like deep fried my steak a little more than I was.
Should have made a chicken fried
trying to. But I mean, it did make this, beautiful brown crust on the steak. And I had slow cooked it. So it was a good steak.
You guys know why McDonald's stopped using beef tallow? They got sued by a vegan. Because they said, you didn't tell me that this had.
So off air, Doug and I were talking about this. And I heard him say that. He heard or believes that after that, when they switched over to vegetable oil, that they put something in it to still give you kind of that you know, iconic flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some kind of beef flavoring.
Oh, no. They went – it used to be beef tallow. This is what we fry our fries now.
Yeah.
They went to their engineers. They went to their engineers and scientists and basically engineered an oil and, you know, flavoring and stuff to make it taste like beef tallow. So we went from beef tallow, natural, one ingredient, to Franken oil.
Artificial.
And stuff.
Yeah. I hope it tastes like it.
I wish I remember, because you said that was, what, 80s, 90s? When was it?
I think it was 1980 when they switched. I don't remember how the fries tasted.
Find out when it switched.
Before then. I think it was 1980.
80,
the fries are epic. I mean, that's the
McDonald's best. Fries when they're hot.
Yeah, McDonald's fries.
They've
engineered
the shit out of those.
They definitely have figured
it out. Did I tell you guys I had McDonald's? Like,
why is a vegan in McDonald's?
Huh?
Why are they hanging out at McDonald's?
I'm wrong. It's 1990.
So we grew up eating real French fries as kids.
Yes.
That's all silent.
We
had a moment there.
What I'm thinking is, how much McDonald's did I really have before? I mean, I
did eat their fries.
Somebody's at 9 years old for me. They switched over, and so I don't know how much McDonald's we had. I mean,
when I was a kid,
like McDonald's was like a big treat.
Chicken nuggets. Yeah.
So maybe a handful of times I had it.
Oh, when I was a kid, McDonald's was a big deal.
I ate most of my, you know, it's bad. I probably ate most of my fast food as a teenager and young trainer.
When you could buy yourself.
Yeah. So from you know, probably
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, 13, 15 to, you know, 20, 23. Here's when I ate
fast food. I ate fast food, first of all, when it was a big deal. Like, we ate out once in a great while. And when we did, it would be either McDonald's or KFC, or if it was a really big deal, we'd go out to pizza. But it wasn't often because it was too expensive for us. Or when I would go to work with my dad in the summer. So in the summers, I'd work with my dad and I'd be his helper, and he didn't pay me. But what he would do for me is every morning on the way to the job, he would stop by McDonald's and let me order, you know, their breakfast nice. Sandwiches or whatever.
You know what I think is one of the most interesting things about my journey of eating fast food and not eating fast food is that I wish someone told me maybe when I was younger, or when I even when I was in my early 20s and I was still eating it, is once you've disciplined yourself to get it completely out of your life, it never tastes as good as it used to taste when you were eating it habitually.
You have to work in. You have to work it out. Yeah. You have to eat it for a while.
Which to me just highlights the level of processing that are in there. Totally. I experienced this with even like protein bars. I told you guys my journey with like the Quest bars and like completely not eating them, and then coming back and going like, oh, these aren't that good, and then like still eating them, and then going like, oh, these are great, and then oh my God, I'm craving these. I want lots of these. Like that's a similar journey like with fast food. Like, you know, my memories as a kid or early 20s eating all these fast food restaurants were, oh my God, it was so amazing and you craved it. And then I got rid of it like completely and didn't have it in my life for years. And then remember reintroducing it. Oh, you know, it's been so long since I've had a
Whopper.
It doesn't
taste as good as you remember.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. It doesn't hit. It doesn't hit the same. It doesn't sit in you the same.
You know which one's
it's
the
like
worst?
It's like the best blessing in disguise is totally. That you, you know, I know I'll never ever go back to wanting that all the time. And I know there's people out there listening right now who have probably never consistently cut, say, fast food out for years out of their life and then done that. And anybody who has, I guarantee, has experienced exactly what I'm talking about. And so if you're that person who wants to and do that, the trick is to eliminate it for a long enough period of time that it gets rid of that.
Remember the documentary Supersize Me?
Yeah.
When the guy was eating McDonald's every day? And he said, I don't remember what week it was, but maybe week two, he said, wow, now I'm actually starting to crave it. Whereas at first he kind of felt like, oh, this is too much.
That's right. He did talk about that. Uh-huh. He did talk about how it wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. And he was forcing himself, and then you see him change. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. So good.
The worst one for that, where you remember it tasting better than it was, is Taco Bell. Taco Bell, when I was a kid, I don't know, I remember it tasting good, right? Have you ever had a bean burrito, like, as an adult? What is that? It's literally, what is it?
It's like gelatinous.
Yeah, dude. Ooze. You look at it like, what is this? This is terrible. My school served them. We actually, at lunch, we had bean burritos.
You should look that up because you brought that up, and I told you that.
I used to pound those.
It was Taco Bell did have.
You liked them that much?
Yeah. It was something. They had a partnership with schools. Look up Taco Bell partners with education system or something, Doug, because there was a period of time when I was in high school when that was the only, like, we had I think two options. It was a bean burrito or something else. I don't know if I remember what the second thing was, but there was two things.
All we had was bean burritos.
Maybe it was only bean burritos. There was like one or two things.
You know,
only.
We had, I don't know why I just remember this. There were two items at lunch that were like this is what
Chalupas.
You got. This is what you got. Say what?
It wasn't a chalupa?
No.
I just like saying that.
That was way before,
that's not a real thing.
Though, chalupa didn't come out.
What is it? That's not even
chalupa
like a
didn't come out until later.
You know,
chalupas weren't around when we were in high school.
That's an American made up. That's not a real thing.
It's like
right?
Andrew, Dorito.
Andrew, chalupa is not a real Mexican food,
bro,
right?
Bro, that's so racist. Why are you asking him?
Because he's Mexican. Who else am I asking here?
Huh?
I'm not going to ask you. Because you barely know. He knows.
He counts.
He's upset right now because he knows. Even asking him made him upset. It's not a real food.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was in high school, either the bean burrito or cheese bread. We had something called cheese bread that everybody wanted to eat.
The pizza. So we had a round table, did a thing.
Oh, you guys had round table?
Yeah. It was
a would you go?
Cheese bread.
Damn, bro. Yeah. You went to expensive school?
Yeah. I mean,
the cafeteria.
You're not
cheese bread?
Anywhere,
yeah,
bro.
No,
yes. Pizza.
It was like French school. Bread pizza things.
Yeah.
Did you figure it out, Doug?
Well, I see that Taco Bell did supply burritos to some schools.
Yeah.
This is back in 1993, this article.
It was 96 when I was in high school.
So, yeah.
So maybe it was the leftovers from 93?
Yeah, maybe.
The Bork kids got it in 96.
Well, it was the cheapest, dude. That was the cheapest option. So that's why everybody go there.
It was brought to your high school in 93.
Like whatever tacos you guys didn't for buy, $2.
My school got, dude, in 96.
What they didn't sell?
Yeah.
Send these to Bork kids.
Yes, yeah, they won't know the difference.
They don't know. Just freeze it. It's fine.
To be clear on the chalupa thing, it is a Mexican tradition.
It is?
Yeah.
Where?
It's basically just masa or corn dough in like a boat shape. Like a taco shape.
Oh my God. It's a real thing.
Thank you for pointing out.
I feel like such an
wrong
idiot.
Again. Andrew.
How about the chimichanga?
Chimichanga, I haven't had a lot of those. I don't.
Is that a real Mexican food?
I wouldn't be surprised if that one's
the Mexican pizza was the best thing to talk about. Hands
down.
Oh
my God, what are you doing?
Mexican pizza was the best.
By the way, going back to the McDonald's thing, it looks like they did that because of health reasons.
Not
because
they were sued?
Health?
Yeah. Boy, I mean, this is what I'm hearing.
Kind of attacking vegans health for no reasons?
I'm sure.
Health reasons. Oh, I know. Because of the trans, nope. I mean, because saturated of the fat. Saturated fats.
So they replaced it with trans
fats. They replaced it with trans fats. They've since better. Twice changed their formulation.
What does that have to do with
No, it's just.
Because the transgenders, we got no more of the
trans fat is fat that identifies.
Anyway, after they made. After they made that switch to the new oil, their stock went way down.
Wow! Oh, it did.
Yeah, because people like the old fries.
Dumb move.
Did I tell you guys I had a bunch of McDonald's 4 weeks ago?
Really?
Yeah. So we had
a handful of times you mentioned this on the podcast.
Is happening.
Starting to believe that you have a little bit of a McDonald's addiction.
No. We had a bunch of kids over to make cookies, Christmas cookies. So we had all my cousins.
Oh, yeah,
and all the brother kids. Remember I told you about this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh crap, we should get food for everybody. And it's a bunch of little kids, and I don't want to deal with what do you want? What do you want?
So you're like, I'm gonna poison them with McDonald's.
I just ordered. I ordered a big ass thing of chicken nuggets, bro. Chicken nuggets and a big ass thing of fries. Yeah. So I had a few of them. Okay. And immediately I could feel the depression. Like I ate it and I felt like, oh.
So
God,
you
what
feeding
it do
all those
brain?
Kids McDonald's, how's that different than the mom giving the 6-year-old laxatives?
Wow.
That's a little bit of a jump.
Come on, guy.
Hey, that one mom.
Yeah.
You might as well be poisoning my kid.
Yeah.
Walks out all angry after putting frosting on the cookies.
Yeah,
the kids are
right.
Cookie with frosting. That's that mom. Do you guys ever go to a birthday party where instead of chocolate cake, it was a carob? Cake. Do you guys ever do that?
It's a carob cake.
Carob is a terrible, terrible replacement for chocolate. For some reason, health people thought this
never
is like chocolate. No,
I've
it's not.
Heard of
I mean, look up carob.
Yeah, I've tried it before.
Yeah.
So there was a period where people thought chocolate was bad for you.
Yeah.
And so they obviously, like everything, they come up with some piece of garbage that is probably
really
made
with a ton of sugar, anyways, right?
Chimichanga is from Arizona, not Mexico. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know what I like about
it? How do we get the chimichangas? I didn't even hear you guys.
He mentioned it. You know what I like about chimichangas? You know what I like about American foods that are invented to sound like ethnic foods? The way they name them.
I know.
That's such an American person. Going, what are we going to call this? Yeah. Name it something that sounds Spanish. Chimichanga.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, dude.
What's the Italian version of that? I mean, you got Chef Boyardee's creation.
But that's not his actual. Do you know that? His real name is Boyardee.
Boyardee.
Yeah, they changed the spelling. I told you guys about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to hear about your incredible experience of the DMV.
Why? You don't want to.
Yeah, I do, bro. How now are they have they come up to
what were you down
1990
there for?
Standards? Are they still behind? What's going on?
I bought a car.
That's why you had to go down there?
To register it, yeah.
Oh.
And if you don't register it in a certain amount of time, you get all these fines.
And, of course.
And not only that, apparently you have to drive it there so they inspect it.
So drove
it there?
You need you need a cop friend, bro.
Yeah.
A cop can come to your house and actually do all that stuff.
Really?
So if you have a friend, that's why I had just done. Remember when I told you? Yeah, yeah.
Well, I do need a cop friend.
I didn't have to go to DMV at all.
You know what your problem is? You know your problem is you're a Lone Ranger. You never ask anybody.
That's right. That is your fault.
He has a cop friend for you.
That's right.
I wore this because I knew I'd be crabby today.
Yeah. So, you wore it. You wore it because you beat crabs again. Good job. Yeah, congratulations.
So, you went down there to register the car.
Yeah.
Without the car. Did you have problems?
Yeah. Did have problems. Yeah. And it wasn't because of that. I could have came back for that, but apparently, so I got it from a dealer who, sent me the paperwork of the loan, all the stuff, and the guy didn't sign off a wet signature on this one form. This is bureaucracy 101, dude. It's always and I'm I just knew it was going to be some form or something or some stamp or some person that's going to give me a hassle. So I was just expecting it, and of course, to no avail. We can't process this because it doesn't have the wet signature from this. And so if I did that, it would be invalid and whatever, dude. I stopped listening and I was okay, lady, what do I got to do? So she stamps it. I'm I just want to avoid the fines. And so I have to write up something to try and plead the fact that I'm there. I'm on time. I'm doing my thing. But the dealer kind of screwed me because they didn't sign this thing. And so that's where I'm at.
Oh, man. So it was a waste of time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
100% a waste of time.
Oh, wow.
It's always a waste of time.
Oh, wow,
because
dude.
It's not really a business.
No, dude.
It's just a thing. It's like a...
If they privatize...
It's an amoeba
it,
you have to go deal with.
I had such a hassle
with.
Doing... the car was such a hassle. It's such a pain in the ass, all the things that you have to do. And you added the fact, I don't know what you're dealing with right now with insurance. Like, insurance is a pain in the
thankfully,
ass.
Thankfully, like, because it's an older car, like, there was the Grundy. They cover a lot of these older cars. That wasn't a hassle at all.
Dude, the reason why it's such a pain in the ass, the reason why when you go to the DMV... And everything looks like it's from 1995, and everybody's slow as hell, and it's redundant as hell. The reason is because they don't go out of business.
There's no competition.
They don't go out of business.
There's no competition.
Imagine if we if we were the only fitness podcast that existed.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, we would suck. We would literally have to try.
That's the thing. I always like, and so I didn't have my earphones or anything. Normally, I would do that to try and like you know have my own little space. But I didn't, and so I'm sitting there, and then you'd listen to all these conversations people are having and, like, how pissed off everybody is about, like, well, you guys didn't notify me, and I'm here, and I got all this, and, you know, just, like, this guy's raging with this lady.
Who chooses to work at the DMV? I would hate that. Because so now you're dealing with
I don't think
what?
You do. I think that's like
dude.
I don't think any kid grew up was like, I want to work at the DMV when I get older. Yeah. I think that's, like...
So the first person you meet, like, can barely speak English when I'm getting in there, too, and I'm like... What? Like, you don't have, like, I'm sorry, but like your first person, your interaction, you're meeting with to like direct you around, like this is a problem.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
it's a cluster. It's a cluster.
So that's what I had.
It's infuriating to me. It's infuriating.
Makes you almost want to give the car back. It gets so fucking keep the goddamn car.
I'm going to be illegal.
I don't even want this thing anymore.
It's gas. You know, they don't like gas here, you know, already. Yeah, like,
So
it's full gas.
Oh, this is a gas car?
Yeah.
Wait, that you had to mark that down?
Well, they almost try to make me smog, even though it's like 60s, you know? And I'm like, no. Like, it doesn't need to be smog because it's an older vehicle.
Yeah.
And they're like, well.
Yeah, they want to know the engine, everything.
They're real invasive these days. California rocks.
I thought this was America. Did you ever watch that?
It's not really America anymore.
Did you guys ever watch that old video? It was like 1980, I think they filmed it, and it was a town in Texas, okay, that had just passed the drunk driving law.
Yeah.
It's the funniest video you've ever seen in your life. So they're interviewing people who are driving, and it's always like these dudes driving home from work, and they just passed the law.
This is un-American.
Yeah.
I just want to have a beer after work and chill out.
Yeah, this guy's like,
drive myself home.
I work so hard. I just want to crack open a beer on the way home. What the hell is the problem? I thought this was America. I'm fucking dying, dude.
Dude, speaking
of, take it too far.
Dude, I saw this crazy video. I guess there's a place. I don't know if it's in New Zealand or somewhere else. I don't think it's America, but there was like this stunt where they had dogs driving cars. Like they.
Why?
Literally teach dogs to drive cars, and they have it all set up. So the pedals and everything and the shift, like the dog's doing all the things and turning. And I'm like, this is crazy. But then it started to make sense because they were doing this all to like for adoption for dogs.
Oh, to
like,
get you to adopt the dog.
Yeah, it's like, this dog is capable of so much if you just teach him.
There's my designated driver.
Yeah.
I always wanted a dog that could do that.
You get pulled over, you're like,
Yeah, it's this guy. This guy was driving. He was all over the place.
That's his beer.
Yeah. He saw a squirrel, dude. He just goes. He just goes after it.
He sees a cat driving. car chase.
We'll put that video. I'm not even joking. This is a real thing.
Wow, dude. Dogs, you know, dog, I think, was it a dog that was the first organic, creature
to go to space,
right? It was a dog?
Dog or monkey?
He was a monkey.
I think it was a dog was the first.
I thought it was a chimpanzee.
I thought the Soviets sent up a dog first.
I thought it was a chimpanzee. That's why the whole Planet of the Apes movie was all made based around that. No? Was it made
thinking that?
It had something to do with that? Isn't that what
I
they...
I don't think so.
But I know that...
Yeah. I don't think it was based
on I thought that was...
Yes, you're correct. It is a dog. Sputnik 2.
A dog. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'll make up for you being wrong earlier.
I'm not gonna give you that one.
It just cancels your chalupa, bro. All you do is cancel your chalupa.
Just
cancel the chalupa. You're at zero, dog.
Hey, what's that dog thinking too, by the way? Like, he gets in there, he's looking at everybody. All right, guys. Oh shit. I don't think he made it back alive though, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they just got him up there. And then that's it.
Well, it's a dark.
That's fucked.
Well, I mean,
this is before PETA would have been all over their ass, yeah, for sure.
Right? PETA. Yeah. PETA.
Well, we not got them there.
Yeah,
I said PETA, not PETO, Doug.
I said PETO.
No, I did not say PETO.
Can you guys send all the PETOs out to space?
Yeah, can you send
forever
some kids up there?
Yeah, shoot them all out there.
Wow.
Are you guys all? So, what's everybody got for Christmas Day? Are you with a big family group? Are you with a big family group? Yeah, or does Christmas? Oh, you do.
Yeah, we're doing Christmas Eve alone. Because, you know, we wanted to have a nice intimate setting. This is like one of the compromise, you know, things that we do, because all our events are with my, you know, massive.
Yeah. Family. I meant to ask you that. What traditional things around the holidays have changed for you, since you have Jessica now? What is your compromise on that? So help Katrina.
Well, that's it. Tell Katrina.
Yeah. So
that's it. We're doing Christmas Eve alone.
And you normally wouldn't.
Oh, never.
Oh, okay.
Never in my life have I done a big holiday like that without being with everybody.
And then Christmas Day,
we're going over to the family. Yeah.
So what would you normally do on Christmas Eve? What's it look like?
Family too.
I mean, but what? You just get together in the house?
We all get together, and it used to be this way, although with little kids, now everybody's changed it, but it used to be we'd all get together and go past midnight, open gifts at midnight, and then go home and come back the next day.
No, it's very similar to Katrina's. Yeah. Except they all spend the night together at the same house.
Yeah, that's next level, bro.
Yeah. They literally stay up, like I said, so Christmas Eve, everybody stays up late playing games, drinking, and then we do White Elephant at midnight.
Wow.
And then the kids, you normally get to open one present, and then, you know, by 1-2 in the morning, they start calming down and then go to bed.
You know,
they wake up at 6.
I don't think I've ever shared this, but here's something that's changed for me. It has nothing to do with our families. I never liked Christmas. I know.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Nope.
Interesting.
Wow. I never liked
Thanksgiving?
Huh?
You like Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was my favorite holiday. I didn't like Christmas because
you're so different.
As a kid, I liked Christmas, right? But then as I was growing up, especially when I was an atheist, right? I viewed the whole thing as like this commercialized, like you go to the mall, it's packed.
Oh my God.
People are trying to find parking.
What an angry atheist way to
100%. Yeah, 100%.
You associate the mall with it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's over.
I'm like, oh, you're obligated to buy presents. Yeah. It's not really gift giving if you're obligated. It's all crazy busy. Like everywhere I go to the mall, it's packed. Everybody's acting whatever. This sucks. You know, it's the weather. I don't like the weather. So I just didn't like the season of Christmas. Never did. Dang. Jessica is like Elf. Okay. Yeah. Christmas to her is the greatest time of the year. Everything. Mm-hmm. Music. She'll play music in the house. That's Christmas music. She'll light Christmas candles. She'll decorate everything. She'll make Christmas food. Mm-hmm. It's just like she just lights up. She loves going to the mall. I hated going to the mall. So gradually, you know, I kind of developed this better experience around it, and I really started to like it even before I became a Christian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's something that changed.
Yeah, that's way different. Huh. And then
I like it.
What will you do?
Oh, for Christmas and Christmases, we do. We'll go to a service on Christmas Eve with.
We're going
Courtney's
to. We're going with you guys. Well, yes. We'll see you guys there.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was gonna see. Yeah, because
great show.
I know. I'd be with you guys, but we'll be at the. We have tickets to the enchantment thing.
We did that.
Yeah.
That's all the lights over there.
We bought tickets specifically on Christmas Eve, and I already had that, or else I would be joining you guys.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Do you know what your son's favorite part is gonna be?
All the lights.
No.
What?
The same thing that my son's favorite part is. As you're walking in, there's hella vendors selling cheap toys. cheap light up toys, dude. Balloons, swords, and shit that little boys like.
I'll let you know. We'll see.
Lighting.
He's pretty into the decor. He's definitely every day we come home from school, he always wants me to drive around the neighborhood. I'm like, the lights aren't even on yet. He still wants to see it.
Do you know what's good around there? There's the same. There's vendors outside leading in. So you walk down a sidewalk, hella vendors selling hella toys. They're cheap or whatever. And they also have hot dog vendors that are making amazing hot dogs. Bacon wrapped, and they'll put onion, whole deal. It's really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we were just there last week.
Oh, you guys were?
We were.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't gone, so I didn't go last year, because the tickets sell out fast.
Yes, they
do. You got to get them in advance. So we got them way in advance so we could do it specifically on Christmas Eve with the whole family.
So I'm going to go to that church service that you're going to.
Yeah.
Have you been to it?
Yeah, I've been.
It's so good.
We've been.
It's so good.
So do you go with just your immediate family, or does your parents and who else just?
Just Courtney's family. Typically, we'll do that, and we'll share Christmas Eve with her side, and then we do my family the next day. And so we go to church service, we go back, and then we have this kind of it's like hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And then we open up presents with the cousins.
Yeah.
And so it's like, a few there, and then after that, like, we go watch a movie at my house, and then, like, everybody goes to bed. We wake up in the morning, do our own thing with my family, like, just the kids and Courtney. And then probably, like, mid-afternoon, like, my parents and then my brother and everybody and
comes when do over. When do your boys open their presents from you guys?
Like, first thing in the morning.
Just you guys.
Just us. Yeah.
So that's what will be different this year for Katrina and I is that
you're doing Santa where he wakes up and sees it.
Yeah. And it'll just be, it'll just the presents that are for him from basically Katrina and I and, you know, Santa Claus and our family, my family.
Uh-huh.
We will open ourselves.
Do you guys do stockings too?
Yeah. We have stockings.
Here's a question I have for you guys. When I was
Courtney
a kid,
does not like stockings.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, dude,
those are the easiest.
I love it. I don't know why. I like finding little
candy,
stupid
little
things.
Knickknacks. Yeah,
yeah. She's like, this is so painless. Yeah.
I love.
You guys are like a. You guys are totally like a. Here's what I want for Christmas. Buy it for me.
Me?
Not you.
No. She's like that.
Yeah.
That. This is conflict.
I've heard you talk about this.
That's a sign you suck at it. That's what that is. Yeah. Here, you're terrible at this. Let me help you.
No, dude. It's analytical brain. You know, it's like, I can't, I don't listen. Yeah. That's what that is. Yeah. Oh, I don't listen to you. Yeah, I listen.
Bro, it took me a long, really, really long time to get good at this. And I don't even want to say I'm a master right now, but I've gotten pretty good at throughout the year. I literally write it down. Yeah.
Or you pay attention. Like, ooh, I like this. Yeah, and then again, honey, I like it. Yeah, that was in September. Yeah, I paid attention. Yeah.
So when I was a kid and I got up with Santa's gifts, they were never wrapped or in a box. They were out. So my parents would take whatever gift it was, take it out of the box. Now the reasoning was it looked more real, like an elf made it.
Yeah.
Okay. Jessica's family actually wraps Santa's gift.
So
I didn't do it that way.
So I grew up that way also where traditionally we had one big gift and then everything was knickknack shit after that.
Okay.
And the one big gift came from Santa and it was unwrapped normally.
Same.
And I think it had less to do. It was normally like a bike, a desk. Like what else did I get? Like I remember things like that.
Yeah.
And so, my dad in the middle of the night would probably put it together and then it would be out just right in front of the tree when you came out. Which by the way, that was my big thing with Katrina is And I'm glad we're starting it now because he's not quite at that age where he's got a thing that he's wanting all year. Like I'm excited for when that happens, right? When there's a thing that he wants that he's been asking for months. And I go, well, your mom and dad aren't going to get that, but maybe Santa will bring it. And there's that suspense of maybe he will. And then I can have it all out. And then I could video him coming in and being like, surprised that he left it. So that's real. I'm looking forward to that. He's not quite at a thing where he obsesses about a thing yet.
Aurelius.
He likes all stuff.
Aurelius, it's going to be so much fun.
My 3-year-old has been obsessing since we came to your house over the garbage truck toy. Obsessing.
That's hilarious.
That's what he wants from Santa. That's all he wants from Santa.
Did you guys get it already?
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
All he talks about is what it does, how you could put garbage in it. He talks about it. Tells me stories about it. You know. The back, you could put garbage in.
There it is.
And you could take garbage out and you could drive it around.
My son's really into trash and all that. Like that was like their thing when they were his age. Oh, loved it. They'd run outside, trash.
That's Chris.
They called people trash. You know?
What?
That's my buddy. I don't know why. Hey, that's Chris Nagibi. Son who's the same age as our kids, right? He's got a little one that's 4. That he every I think it's Friday when their trash guy comes, like he's like his son, like
Dad!
Yeah, you know, and they gotta run. He's standing out there in his slippers.
Okay. Oh, if Aurelius misses
watching him,
it's bad.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I just thought of when you guys were talking about all that, like it's the Santa thing. Like, so from when I was growing up, like Santa gave me this gift, but it's like something my brother already owned. Like, this is bullshit, Santa.
Your parents gave you hand-me-down gifts.
Yes, as a Santa gift. Like, what the fuck?
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Hey.
I'm like, why is Santa a cheap bastard?
It's all etched with a knife. And it's
I just thought of that, dude. Like, I remember being so mad. I was like,
that looks like his big wheel. Why is it?
Yeah, I was like, wasn't this like Brandon's? Like, why is this
gangster right there?
Come on, Santa. Do better.
Why is the big wheel tire look all worn? What the fuck, dude?
I'm so angry about that.
I want a big wheel so bad as an adult. Would you guys ride a big wheel right now?
Didn't they try and bring them back? Then Isn't there a company that is making them again
for adults?
I think they are. I think
I have fond memories of
Big
Wheels.
So do I.
Because the tires
the power
were plastic.
Slide.
Yeah,
the power slide.
You got no.
The
you know
big
why?
Wheels are the best.
And yeah. And if you pedaled fast enough, yeah, it didn't get trashed. So yeah,
you know they made those for adults for a minute.
That's what I was just
saying.
Oh
yeah, that's what you're saying.
I want one. I think they did. Yeah. I thought I saw a company that was making.
Did you guys have the?
That's the like those are the.
Get out of here! How much is that?
Only $136 bucks.
There's no way you can't have a good time.
No, that's for kids.
That's for kids.
Why the what the fuck was a big wheel at $140 bucks?
Look at that. That's like the OG ones right there. Look at you can adjust. Remember you can adjust the seats like three levels.
Yeah. So I had. You know what kind of big wheel I had? I had Knight Rider big wheel.
Oh yeah.
So the front of it had the Knight Rider.
Yeah,
yes, it was
like
kit.
The car.
Yeah, it was David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's weird to ride.
I don't think I've seen a kid. I don't think I've seen a kid riding those. Oh, wow, look at that one.
Dude, check out my Huffy Hoff.
Look, hey, look up 1980s Knight Rider big wheel, please. This is gonna give me such memories,
dude. Well, see, this is something that I would have done because that's a big nostalgic thing for you. You should have bought that for Aurelius for Christmas. You can find one, I guarantee.
I know
on Amazon.
I should have.
My kids are too old for this now.
Oh my god, that's it right there. See the visor on the top.
Yeah, sick.
Okay,
guarantee you can find someone selling that.
All right, so you see in the back. Man. Click on that picture. You see on the back the red thing. You pull a handle and a little brake came down and you would slide, bro.
Yeah, the power slide, dude.
You would pull it up and you'd be able to slide.
That's great.
Oh, I had such fond memories of that. Man.
I don't remember that one. That's great.
That's because, yeah.
That's so good.
It was so fun. I rode that thing.
See, you can buy one, Doug.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bombed down hills with those.
Now you got anything better to do? Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have a race with those. We'll all drive them around.
Hey, so I didn't finish. Okay, so while you're looking for that, Doug, are you heading up to Seattle?
No, I'm staying here.
You and Bree?
Yeah. Well, so I like to stay just close to home for Christmas. Yeah. I don't like to travel.
Yeah.
And so Bree's gonna stay with me for Christmas Eve. Then we get up in the morning. You know, we sleep in. She gets her stocking. We start with that. I take a picture of everything she takes out of everything.
Yeah.
And I have like a whole collection of photos from years past.
That's great.
And then she opens her presents.
Yeah.
Everyone wrapped. I've never put out presents not wrapped. I always thought it was fun to unwrap presents.
And at what point did she stop believing in Santa? How long did you keep that going? Do you remember?
I think she was 12, actually. Oh, I kept it going for a very long time. But then she also indicated that she kind of thought she knew,
yeah,
but she was just playing along with it.
That's where
maybe it was younger than 12.
She's like, I knew at 8, but she's like, I kept it going because Santa always.
Well, hey, that's
gifts.
The value of being the oldest. I was the oldest of 4. I got Santa gifts for a long ass time.
Yeah.
Because for the kid, for the little ones.
Yeah, to keep it going.
I mean, I want to perpetuate that for the longest time. I was so great. For kids. Even though it is a deception.
You have the type of Christmas I like.
Yeah. So what did you? So what are you guys doing one alone then?
Not really. It's like literally like gonna be in our room, right? So like everyone's at my house, so we're hosting.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. So the compromise was that we get to stay in our room while everybody's outside.
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like you lost that.
I did. Yeah. Please speak to the camera.
Sound like privacy.
Please speak to the camera.
A little bit of pressure, you know.
This is not much of a compromise. This is like, fuck you. Here you go, guy. Here you go. You can open a couple presents in your room.
Did she come up to you? She's like,
are you guys done yet?
Honey, you know what we could do? Honey, I got something for you.
Yeah.
Why don't we just stay in the bedroom and then that's it?
Yeah.
You know what? I get it now. I understand what's happening. This is why she puts up with your shit, because you do this for Christmas for her.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. And every other holiday. And twice a week throughout the week throughout the year. Well, they do a lot of family stuff, dude. I mean, it's a lot of it's grown on me too, though.
Are you trying to do? Do you want to do one of those days where it's just you guys? Your dream
in a perfect world. So what we will do next year? So that this year is not the greatest compromise for me.
Yeah.
But next year, the way it will look is on Christmas Eve. Let's say it's going to be at her mom's house next year, probably, which is probably what will happen. Normally, Katrina and Max would spend the night there with everybody all over the floor. And that they will come home with me. We will spend all day drinking, eating, having fun. Home. We'll go home late Christmas Eve night. I don't care how late. We'll come and wake up in our beds with nobody there, and we will open presents for Max.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then
you'll go.
Then we'll go over there.
That's nice.
So 10, 11. That's perfect
that's
for
so
me.
Reasonable.
That's all I need.
That's
to me, it's like that's all I want is because all I want is that exact that memory of when my son really starts to get into specific gifts is that suspense of did I get it or not?
I get that.
And I don't want it with 30 other people. I like want to be there for that moment, and I want, and if I want that moment to last 30 minutes, I want it to last that long. I don't want to feel like, oh, the next 15 people need to open their presents. So hope you like that, son. Let's go. Next kid. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that.
No,
so.
I get it. I get it 100%.
And I feel like that's a fair compromise because super we're still going to go do all the other stuff.
No, that's super fair, dude.
So that's fair. That's what it's going to look like. It just so happened to be that we had already committed to everybody hosting at our house this year. So it's kind of like, what am I going to do? Tell everybody. Yeah. We're hosting. Like, you all need to leave.
No, you go stay at a hotel.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
All right, see you guys later.
So it's like, okay, this is the first year that we had this real, like, you know, hard conversation around what the compromise or what the future of the holiday is going to look like for us. And it's like, oh, it just so happened to be on the one where we're hosting, so it makes it a little more challenging. But going forward, when it's at other people's houses, it'll be easier.
Dude, look how much the Knight Rider Big Wheel is.
$450.
Yeah. $450.
Yeah.
Is it just a collector?
So here's what trips me out. Who kept that like that?
A psychopath. How do you not write that?
Total geek.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
There's definitely
people are like that.
Don't you think that's interesting? How like some people like they
buy a toy and not do
it. Did I ever tell you?
Open it.
Look up Doug. I'd love to see the prices on this now. I went to high school with this kid. Okay, he was actually one of my first friends in high school when I was a freshman when I first got to this new school. His name was Marcio, and he had under his bed, he had like I want to say from the 70s or 80s, whenever they really started, I'm getting the dates wrong, but when they first started doing the toys in the McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Happy Meals.
He had every single one, and wow, he had them still in the plastic. So they never even opened them, and he had them in this
He's
big,
a millionaire now.
I want to see what they're worth. I think they're worth really good money. They were worth money back then in high school, and he was collecting them, and he never stopped collecting those.
Which one?
Things.
Guess right now. Let's all take a guess. Which one do you think is worth the most money?
It'll be things like the first when Batman was released. It'll be things where
you know which one I know will be worth the least amount of money?
What?
Grimace. What a terrible, stupid, dumbest, stupidest.
Fat purple monster.
Yeah, dude. What is Grimace?
Yeah, I like the burger.
The collaborations, yeah, I think, are the ones that will be the most valuable is when they collaborated with like a you know, a famous movie or whatever. See how Doug did on Google in here.
I don't think we can find any prices there.
No, they definitely have. I know I've seen it before. Just Doug's not the best.
Do you know what's,
what was the other ones? There was like a.
I'll tell you what's.
Come on, Andrew. Money. Let's go. Okay. Step up your game.
I'll tell you
I
what's.
Mean, well, the most valuable are Hot Wheels and then 101 Dalmatians. You have some prices, Andrew?
Hot Wheels are?
What was it exactly you were looking for?
McDonald's toys.
Happy Meal toys.
Happy Meal toys.
How much are McDonald's Happy Meal toys worth? What?
The full set of the Hot Wheel cars is around $875.
Just $70,000.
Yeah. So, just for the cars. He had hundreds of these things. He's probably got thousands.
Do you know what's worth a lot of money? I'll tell you what toy's worth a lot of money. I know this because I looked it up. It was Castle Grayskull. Castle Grayskull in pristine condition. Oh, it's like thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
What I'm doing with Max now, right? So when I buy him, when the Mario movie came out, because he's into Mario right now.
Yeah.
They made like the Nintendo Mario Bowser and like set, like, so I bought him that for his birthday, but I bought a second one and I actually put it away. So it's in the box still. Did this because of this type of shit.
Yeah.
So if it's like a piece that I'm like, oh, that's probably going to be a collector that I buy him. I'm trying
to imagine he grows up and he's like, all right, dad, I'm 18. You know, my friend's dad had these like investment accounts for him. And I was like,
here's your toys.
You're like, I'm glad you asked, son. You open the door.
Yeah.
Toys.
Okay. Here's what my thought on it was this, is that even if they don't end up being super valuable, it'll be neat to be able be like, this was like your first Bowser.
It'll be nostalgic.
Yeah. So I think at the very least.
Oh, over $1,000 for Castle Grayskull. Brand new.
So you never got to the bottom of some of these McDonald's toys, huh?
I found some right here.
Okay, thank you. I know they're going to be selling on eBay.
There's a bunch that are listed for thousands, hundreds of thousands, but the ones that are actually sold, like vintage ones you can see right here, vintage Dukes of Hazzard.
They had Dukes of Hazzard
for $800. Oh, crazy. 1990 Super Mario Bros. Happy Meal for $600.
See? Yeah. 400, 600.
More vintage.
So that's what my buddies look like that. He had all those like that.
Huge lot of 80s and 90s.
Wow. Dukes of Hazzard would have been great to have.
Isn't that interesting, huh? I mean, I thought to think to have this is in the early 90s, like so. Yeah. This is like 96, right?
Yeah.
You don't get any of the joy of playing.
To think, like, to keep those as
how
a
much
kid.
Is a child's happiness worth, though? You know what I mean, Justin?
Yeah. Apparently, you like a couple hundred bucks.
So you can sell it for $500, you know, 34 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or you let them
play a couple days of hard work.
Like old ladies that used to put plastic on their furniture all the time.
Your kid's like, oh, dad.
You're just stripping away their joy.
Dad, thanks. Like, this will cover
my investment.
This will cover my therapy for the next month. Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Just imagine you were playing with them, they got all the plastic all over them. Dad, it just doesn't work.
Don't touch it.
Oh, just pretend like it's muffled.
Yeah. Also, man, my mom threw away some action figures I had, dude. Oh, did your mom ever like clean shop?
Yes. On,
like, some, dude.
You know what she threw away?
Oh.
All my Muscle magazines.
Wow.
I had so many Muscle and Fitness, Iron Man, Flex Magazine, Muscle Media 2000. Like, I had all of them probably from 1992 all the way to.
How crusty were they, though?
Huh?
How crusty were they, though? They're
disgusting.
Wrong magazines, Justin.
That was a Sears.
Is it wrong?
Doug, what day is this episode go live? What's the date?
January 4th.
So we have basically a little more than a week before we have the big 3-day training.
Yes, for trainers.
Yes.
Sign up, mindpumptrainer.com.
New year. So this is a new year. It's officially the new year, even though it's not when we're recording this, but it's the new year when you're listening to this. So I'm excited because this is a massive shift, the biggest shift in our business since we started it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And something that I know all of us are deeply passionate about and can't wait to see what
I am excited,
equipping
man.
Trainers with everything we know.
I'm excited. So if you hope it starts a movement.
If you are not signed up for the 3-day free training, make sure you get signed up for the free training.
Mindpumptrainer.com. Element makes an electrolyte powder that has natural sweeteners, no calories, and has enough sodium to power you through your workouts, help alleviate headaches, give you better pumps. This product is exploding. People are really discovering the benefits of added sodium to their lives. These are fitness fanatics, people that don't eat a lot of heavily processed foods. They tend to benefit from this type of a supplement. Anyway, check them out. Go to drinkelement.com/mindpump. And on that link, they're going to offer you a free sample pack with any order. All right, back to the show.
First question is from Hope is Life 50. Do you think it would be detrimental for someone just to do Zercher squats and not to do front squats? What are the unique benefits of each?
I mean, it's not detrimental, but it is a very different exercise.
Yeah.
First off, the weight is loaded lower on the body. So it changes the length of the lever. So the core activation is going to be different. It involves some rounded back kind of lifting. So there's probably more back activation with the Zercher. Front squat, I think, is very valuable. It's a very upright squat, hits the quads a little bit more, different core stimulation. I don't think one can replace the other, if that's what the question is.
Yeah. They're both valuable, though.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
for the most part, too. And I would say, too, with some athletes, I mean, I've used where there's issues with wrists or in that regard, like in terms of like the mobility of getting, you know, the bar to stay there. I mean, obviously you can fold your arms and you can do that variation for front loaded squats, but the Zercher does provide a lot more like core specific work, which I like. And it's a valuable exercise in it on its own. So I definitely program that in wherever I can.
The only place I see them being interchangeable or similar, or it's like, oh, you know, if you did that one forever and you never did this one, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, is if you were only looking at it purely from a leg development exercise. Right. So if that is, and that's the only way,
it's just novelty, right? Like, you do right, that for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, to me, like, so I, from a bodybuilding perspective, I could see this question, right? Like, you know, hey, all I do is Zercher squats, but I never do front squats. Am I going to be okay developing my legs? Like, okay, sure. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing back squats and Bulgarians and you're doing all these other things and you just choose to always do Zerchers and never do fronts or vice versa. But when you talk about functional or like overall what you're doing, like there's more going on in those two movements than just leg development. So I think that's where questions like these come up, is it's like we tend to like try it. We want to
Isolate to body part.
Yeah, isolate to a body part and be like, well, is it really that much different than a front squat for the legs? It's like, well, yeah, okay, for the leg development, not that big of a difference for your quads. Like, it's not going to make a huge difference.
I think a Zercher is going to be more upper body and a front squat is going to be more lower body. is really if you want to break it down. But you know what's interesting about Zurchers? Nobody was doing them or talking about them for a long time. Zurchers were not even mentioned.
Well, it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. We started talking about it. We put it in some of our program, MapStrong. We put it in MapStrong.
I feel like we did make it popular.
And I swear to God. And you know what? You know why? Okay, here's why.
We're gonna I was doing them back in the day, for sure. But
well, I think people started doing them and then noticing, well, if they get past the discomfort and get used to doing them, they started to notice some developmental benefits and some strength benefits. Like I like Zurcher squats for grapplers a lot.
Yeah.
I think if you're, I mean, in fact, if you look at old, there's old Soviet era videos of wrestlers, Greco-Roman wrestlers, and they're doing a lot of Zurcher position exercises, like Jefferson curls holding the Zurcher position, squatting, because it more closely mimics holding an opponent. So for grapplers, like that's one of my favorite squats.
Yeah, it's very functional. I mean, anything too, like with a little bit of a rounded back sort of position like that. And
upper back, let's be clear, right?
Upper back.
Be like, oh, lower back.
Not lower
back. Rounded upper back.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, what you're going to encounter in the real world in terms of like load, to get things more centrically loaded for me has always been something that I want to incorporate in my training because that's more likely I'm going to encounter that.
You know, 100%. If you're going to hold something and like hug it and pick it up and squat down. I mean, that's a Zurcher squat or a Zurcher deadlift. And a front squat doesn't mimic that. But for pure leg development, I'd say a front squat. You know, if you had to pick one for just the lower
Develop
body.
The quads,
That's why like questions squat. Like these are incomplete without hearing what
the
desired outcome of the client, right? If the client was asking me, you know, that's could true. I do just one of these? And then, okay, what's your overall goal? If you just want to be, if you want to be functionally strong in the real world and you're looking for overall health, then both or Zurcher for sure. If you have more of a bodybuilder focus where it's like, I'm trying to develop my legs and sometimes I do Zurcher, sometimes I do front squats. Could I just eliminate one or the other? And if I were to, which one's better? Well, okay. Well, I think front squats, you're going to get to a place where you could load the front squat more than you're going to be able to do the Zurcher. And so for leg development, it makes sense for that. So it does matter the context of this question for sure.
Next question is from Peck Youth. Bulking is a chore. Is there any natural means of increasing appetite?
This is where, and now, for people who have a challenge with losing weight, when they hear a question like this, I'm sure that it annoys them, right? Because they're always struggling to not overeat. But for people with fast metabolisms who have a tough time gaining weight, this could be a real challenge. This was me growing up. I mean, it felt like no matter how much I ate, it didn't matter. And the scale wouldn't go up. I wouldn't gain any muscle, no matter how much I lifted weights and all that stuff. So I get this. So here's where two things really become valuable. One, drinking calories becomes very valuable when this is you. If you're bulking and you're having trouble getting enough calories to bulk, to be in a surplus, adding shakes in between meals or with meals or drinking milk instead of water, like very, very valuable. Number two, hyperpalatable foods that we tend to avoid because most people are trying to lose weight. That's when these can become very valuable. So you're at the end of the day, like, oh my God, I need to eat another 800 calories. And I really don't feel like anything. Think of something you crave. Right. And then that might be the food that you actually go out. So it might be burger and fries. That's
well,
where there's
I'm reminded of that one. I don't know if it was a challenge. Yeah, it was a challenge where they're trying to eat like ice cream out of a sink. And it's like, and the only way that because of the palate fatigue, they added in like salty fries, I believe.
Yeah,
so like, that it could go back to it.
So it's almost like, you know, if you're in that kind of predicament, yes, using some of those tactics in terms of like you're changing the palate up a bit too to shift into that to keep consuming might help.
So this was something that plagued me in my teens and early 20s. I mean, I struggled so much with eating enough food to bulk and to put size on. Two of the biggest hacks. One was easily digestible foods.
Yeah.
So like,
because otherwise you get bloated.
Oatmeal, rice, and meats. And this was the other thing was those easily digestible foods tend to be healthier foods. What I was doing wrong was I'd have these, you know, Quiznos or Togo sandwiches and chips, and I'd eat these really heavy lunches and meals, and it would fill me up for hours. And I would justify it because it was high calorie.
Yeah.
But then what it ended up doing was it took so long for my body to digest that, break that down, utilize it, that it would be 4 hours before I could even think about eating another food.
Right.
When I was making things like chicken thighs and with sweet potato or rice, man, I'd eat that, and I tell you what, an hour and a half later, I was ready to eat again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to eat more frequently by eating leaner, healthier, easier digestible foods. That was like a mind-blowing thing for me, because trying to chase calories all the time, I was looking for high-calorie foods, which tend to be these, you know, breads and pastas and heavier meals. But then it takes a long time for my body to digest them, and then I wouldn't be ready to eat again. So that was a massive hack. Hack number two was actually getting a early start on my calories.
This was a big one for me.
So those two things.
Yeah, because if you slept in, I know what happened to you. Same thing happened to me. You'd sleep in on a weekend. Yeah. You'd wake up, you'd get out of bed at 10:30, and now you're trying to eat your 4,000 calories. Forget about it.
Yeah. And what I found was and this is why I love, one of my reasons why I was so excited when we partnered with Meal One, right? Creatures of Habit, was that oatmeal is so easily digestible for me. And that one that has 30 grams of protein in it. So if I get up and I make myself eat that, say at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, like right away, dude, an hour later, I want another meal.
Yeah.
And so then my second meal, I'm eating like steak and eggs or another, like now I'm eating like a big breakfast. Now it's like 9:30, 10 in the morning. I've already got 1,500 calories down and I'm at 80 grams of protein and it's not even noon yet. And that just would set the table for my day. So those things, and for the last kind of hack, and I've talked about this many times on the show when it came to bulking, it was clutch to turn my dinner from the night before into like a scramble and that would normally be my second meal. I love the oatmeal thing right away, really early. And then my second big breakfast was normally whatever I had for dinner, I would scramble it with some eggs and sprinkle some cheese on it. And now I'd have this, you know, massive, high protein calorie second breakfast. And I'm already, you know, well over 1,000 to 1,500 calories to start my morning off already.
Yeah. Check this out. So I'm looking this up right now because this was another big one for me. And I mentioned earlier, if you can have dairy, drinking 12 ounces of milk with each meal,
mm-hmm.
that's 220 calories each time. 606, you're going to have.
Yeah, instead of water.
660 calories automatically added. 12 grams of protein each time. So you've automatically added 36 grams of protein from good old-fashioned whole milk if you can have dairy.
Yeah.
Next question is from Cody May Fit. You guys advocate for more straight sets with proper rest, which I much prefer myself, but it seems difficult to achieve when it comes to training clients for only an hour. When you trained, did you stick to straight sets or more of a 1 ABC, 2 ABC circuit style?
When I was a bad trainer, I did circuit style. That when I became a good trainer, I stuck to straight sets.
Yep. So spot on. Like this is, and by the way, I remember this thinking this way and being challenged.
I got to fit all these exercises in a workout.
And by the way, this is just, again, to not to make this a commercial for our MAPS 15 program, but I way overcomplicated the amount of things I needed to do to my client to show them great results.
Yeah.
Later on in my career, I realized, wow, we could do 2, maybe 3 really effective exercises with good rest periods in between straight sets and get incredible results for my clients.
Way better results.
And I just, and instead I felt like I needed to have 10 to 12 exercises in an hour. So my clients didn't feel like all we did was 2 or 3 things because I allowed that to dictate my programming because they were in my head like, we only did 2 things today. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but if those 2 things are far more effective than the 8 other exercises you did, you're better off doing that.
You can sort of entertaining them, feeding into that expectation the client has. But yeah, if you show them results, they're going to love you even more. And 2, like in between sets is where you educate, where you add dialogue and all that other stuff to keep them engaged. And 2, it's not going to take away from the experience. So
it adds the experience because they feel good after. They don't feel like you just beat the crap out of them. Yeah, they walk out and they're like, man, I feel
energized.
On average, with my clients, on average, it would be between 2 to on the high end with the clients who've been working out for a while and could really keep up a good pace and 5. 2 to 5 exercises is on average what I would do with clients.
Yeah.
in a session when I was good. This is when clients stuck with me forever. Yeah. We got great results. They love me. They never skipped a workout. It was 2 to 5. In the early days, it was like 10, 15, 20.
It was just garbage.
Yeah, and I was always trying to come up with weird ways
like this. I went through a phase just like this exercises. Where we would go over and it would be, you know, bench press, bicep curls, then shoulder presses. And it would be like, do that exercise, rest. Do that exercise, rest. And then we move to another area. Oh, it would be, you know, a barbell back row, and then it'd be a lateral raise. And it, you know, it would be these three exercises. That way, at the end of the workout, I got 20 exercises in.
So ineffective.
It was. It just, you know, and again.
You'd be better off as a trainer, okay, with the average person spending the entire hour perfecting a squat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally perfecting a barbell squat. And I had plenty of clients where that was the entire hour. Where I was perfecting, gripping the bar, staying tight. Okay, we're going to start with this high box. Let's see how that feels. Okay, I notice a little deviation here. Let's activate this muscle over here. Mm-hmm. Let's try again. Lower box. By the end of the hour, we're doing full barbell squats with the barbell. And then they would leave and they'd feel amazing. And this, again, this is when I was successful, when clients didn't leave, because I got phenomenal results.
Well, this speaks to your fitness tip that you gave the other day about, you know, treating the exercises as a skill.
Yes.
And that... You know,
I learned this way too late.
Dude. You get way more out of the movement when you focus on perfecting that one movement than you would be throwing 4 or 5 exercises on there. Which is funny that we don't see it that way, because everybody who's ever played a sport knows that. Like you used the analogy, I think, with the Bruce Lee. I think that was where the fitness tip
one
came from.
One kick 10,000 times.
Yeah, like but we don't treat exercise like that, but it should be, and you should understand that you getting your client to increase their ability to connect in a squat by say 10% is far better than you teaching them 10 new random exercises. Like you're better off
teaching them. You know what happens when you do it the other way is you're not teaching them exercise.
Yeah, you're just
walking them through and getting them tired.
You're just burning calories.
When I got really good, my clients, if they were with me for 6 months or a year, they could do all the good basic barbell dumbbell exercises with good technique, good form, and good. And this is why not all of them that I haven't trained for years now continue to work out.
And if you're a trainer, so I understand too, you know, as you're developing, right, and as in your journey as a coach and as a trainer, learning to have this conversation or having the confidence to have this conversation is probably the biggest challenge, right? So okay, you hear us, you're like, okay, I believe you. But it's like, God, how do I convey that? Clip this shit. Like, I mean, this is the stuff like that I always get frustrated with coaches and trainers that, okay, if you're early in your career, you don't feel like you have the confidence to convey that or articulate why you want them to do it a certain way, utilize us as an authority in that situation. That's what I would do. If I was the two years as a trainer, that's it, and I'm listening to this podcast of these three knuckleheads that I respect what they do, and I'm like a new guy, and I'm like, man, I don't know how to explain it as good as Sal does. Like, I'm just going to clip it and be like, hey, listen to this. This is the reason why I only have you do the squat and overhead press and we don't do 8 exercises for this reason.
Listen, the easiest thing you can do, this will help, is set the expectation. If the client's expectation is that they're going to come in and be cycled through 15 different exercises and sweat and feel like they're going to puke and everything's going to burn, and you then go, you don't set the expectation, just take them to teach them how to squat. You're going to get some pushback. But if you start the session and you say to them, Mrs. Robinson, today we're going to practice mastering the most effective exercise for your lower body, the barbell squat. Today I'm going to teach you how to really activate and connect to the muscles that are required for this exercise. And the reason why I'm doing this is this exercise can give you such phenomenal results. So today we're going to just practice how to do this. And I'm going to break it down into 5 different parts. And we're going to practice all the different parts. And hopefully by the end of our session, you'll be able to do a full squat. If not, don't worry about it. We're going to continue to practice this so that you can get good at this amazing exercise. Now you set the expectation. Now when they start the session, it's not a problem. They know what they're going to do.
Do you want to build muscle and strength, or you just want to sweat?
Next question is from HoopGolf89. What are your thoughts on the best gut health supplements?
So with gut health supplements...
Is there a generic answer for this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there is. So you have to. There's kind of 2 categories of gut health supplements. Category 1 are general supplements that have been found to benefit the gut, help rebuild the gut wall or nourish the wall or the mucosa lining.
So something like a probiotic like C.
Or probiotics, right? We know that there are beneficial bacteria that we've identified that seem to have wide-ranging beneficial effects that also seem to balance out the microbiome by crowding out, let's say, the bacteria that can cause negative things. There are things that help feed good bacteria that we know, prebiotics. Okay, so there's that category. Then there's a category of gut health supplements that are specific to what you need. If you have SIBO, you use these supplements. If you have SIFO, which is small intestine fungal overgrowth, there's these supplements. Sometimes there's crossover. If you have issues with producing enough digestive acids or enzymes, then there's these supplements.
HCL, yeah.
So you have to know kind of which category you're looking to. But I'll talk more general because I can't talk specific. Obviously, this is a general answer. And the number one thing you can do is take a high-quality probiotic. And high-quality probiotics have been shown to improve everything from skin to mental health effects. So they have anti-anxiety effects, antidepressant effects. They have positive effects on digestion and inflammation. So that'd be the first thing. I think most people would benefit from a good, high-quality probiotic. Seed is by far the best. I have yet to meet any company or see any company that comes close to Seed. Second would be, you know, consuming foods with beneficial fibers that feed healthy bacteria. So you want to have an adequate fiber intake in your diet. And that's kind of it. I mean, you can look at like...
Do you say digestive enzymes?
Digestive enzymes can be in there that might help as well. Although probiotics, I put them much higher. Kinda,
yeah.
You know?
That's what I meant by this is tough because it's not really a generic? But you said it.
Individualized.
So a probiotic probably is the generic answer.
Yep.
Then the more specific answer is based off of what your issue is.
100%.
Because you could have a lot of different things going on with your gut. And based off of that, there then becomes better supplements to take.
Yeah. For example, there's a lot of people with acid reflux. And the cause is they're not producing enough of the digestive acids that are required. So you could supplement with
HCL pills.
HCL, hydrochloric acid. You could supplement with this.
Apple cider vinegar.
Now, for some people, that's great. For other people, that would make my gut go off. And that's why it's a little bit more specific to the person.
Yeah, I mean, I tried that. And it turned out to not really work well for me, too, because, I had different issues. So, yeah, it is so individualized like that. But I would imagine that. And like you said, the just eating, fibrous foods to move things kind of along and create its natural system.
I mean, this is also this also highlights, too, the value of going through this testing at least once. I mean, this is part of the reason with partnering with Dr. Cabral and his team and having that free forum for you guys to have access to is to get in there and is to communicate with that community and those doctors. It's free to you guys. You guys are followers of Mind Pump, so get in there and ask these type of questions. But it's also worth the investment to get tested at least one time so you have an idea of what are the offenders and what are the best supplements?
What? I'm going to say one more thing because I'm just starting to learn about this. And this is I don't want to say emerging theory because it's actually been around for a little while, but I think it's getting more accepted that the central nervous system plays such a big role in your gut health that the reason why some people continue to have gut health issues has more to do with their central nervous system than it does with what's happening in the gut. Now, the central nervous system, that can throw things off, and then you can get things like SIBO reoccurring. Mm. But it's actually quite interesting. The effect. Now, what's funny is it's actually quite obvious. We know this. When you get nervous or stressed out, gut issues pop up. Either indigestion, people say, "Oh my God, you're giving me indigestion," or getting really anxious will give someone diarrhea, for example. So that's another category of potential supplements that you could look at. Things that help balance out your central nervous system. Based on whatever your issue is. So I could see that category starting to emerge.
Yeah.
There's something called polyvagal theory, which is really interesting. I'm just learning about it, so I'm not going to comment on it. But if you have reoccurring gut issues, look that up. It's actually quite interesting. Look, if you love the show, head over to mindpumpfree.com and check out all of our free fitness guides. You can also find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic,
9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.